This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein of Machon Hadar, Parashat Vayigash 57:77. And Yosef could not hold himself back. Yosef's cry of disappointment. Yosef kept his identity hidden from his brothers for a long time, requiring a lot of resilience and fortitude on his part. These emotions are expressed in two ways in the text: crying and restraining of self. Vayitapak. A close reading of the text teaches that there is an ongoing process moving from crying to crying and restraint and on to foregoing of restraint that is expressed itself through crying. Why does Yosef expose his identity in our parasha and stop restraining himself? It is customary to assume that the brothers passed the tests of loyalty that Yosef put before them, indicating self-change. This leads to his revealing of his identity. I would like to suggest that it is actually an ongoing disappointment that urges Yosef to expose his identity. The tests of time and Yosef's trickery towards his brothers don't actually reveal a change in his brothers. Yosef reveals his true identity due to his recognition that his disappointment will not be resolved behind a partial and fabricated identity. I will review the different points in the Yosef story where disappointment, crying, and holding back, vayitapak, eventually bring us to the pivotal moment of meeting that takes place in our parasha. Yosef's first bout of tears, as described by the text, happens during his brother's first visit to Egypt. There, Yosef appears to be a hardened and difficult man. When Yosef saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he acted like a stranger towards them and spoke harshly to them. He asked them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan, to procure food." For though Yosef recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Yosef said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the land in its nakedness." In light of his pseudo-suppositions of his brothers, Yosef commands that they be imprisoned in Egypt while one of them goes back home to retrieve Binyamin. After a few days, Yosef changes his mind and imprisons only one of the brothers, Shimon, while the others go home with the express demand that they not return without Binyamin. The conversation that the brothers have at this dramatic moment forms the backdrop for the first time that we see Yosef cry. And they said to each other, "But we are at fault for our brother." As we saw his troubled heart when he begged us and we did not heed. This is why this trouble has come to us. Then Reuven spoke up and said to them, "Did I not tell you, do not wrong the boy? But you paid no heed. Now comes the reckoning for his blood." And they did not know that Yosef understood, for there was an interpreter between him and them. And he turned away from them and wept. At first glance, it seems that here Yosef's tears are triggered by the brothers saying, "Alas, we are at fault," regarding their behavior towards him, as a moment where they take responsibility for what happened to him. However, a rereading demonstrates that the crying doesn't come directly after this statement of taking on of responsibility, but rather after the remark that Reuven makes, a remark of blame, accusation, and rebuke, with no remorse or taking of responsibility. "Did I not tell you?" Yosef's tears come specifically at this moment, when he is disappointed at his brothers for not taking responsibility for their actions. In this scene, no holding back, vayitapak, is described. It seems that Yosef is not moved to reveal his identity in this encounter with his brothers. The second time that Yosef cries is the second time that he encounters his brothers. this time with Binyamin. At this juncture, we also see him try to restrain himself, Vaitapak. Looking about, he saw his brother Binyamin, his mother's son, and asked, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me?" With that, Yosef hurried out of the room, for he was overcome with mercy towards his brother and was on the verge of tears. He went into a room and wept. Then he washed his face, reappeared, and controlled himself. Vaitapak. Yosef is flooded with feelings of mercy and compassion towards his brother, towards Binyamin. It seems that Yosef does not trust his brothers, and so when he sees his brother the son of his mother, he dreads that his brothers, the sons of his father, will treat Binyamin the way they treated him, and is filled with mercy towards him. There's a short teaching found in the Psikta Zutrata that explores the connection between overflowing emotions and crying. He wanted to cry. This teaches us that crying extinguishes the burning coals of the heart. Yosef succeeds in his second bout of crying to hold himself back, Vaitapak. It is possible that the tears indeed quench his overflowing emotions, and it seems that the compassion he feels towards Binyamin is not sufficient motivation to bring him to reveal himself to his brothers. But in the third scene of Yosef's crying, the one that appears in this week's parasha, the crying is preceded by an inability to hold back, and Yosef could no longer control himself. Why does Yosef lose his restraint? The backdrop to Yosef's stopping to hold back is a speech that Yehuda gives. What is it about Yehuda's speech that eviscerates Yosef's ability to control himself? It is customary to see in Yehuda's speech a revealing of the fact that Yehuda withstood Yosef's tests. It would seem that Yehuda takes responsibility for Binyamin, Rachel's son. This is apparent towards the end of his speech, where Yehuda takes full responsibility for Binyamin and explains to Yosef as follows. Since your slave has vouched for the boy from his father, if I shall not bring him back to you, I have sinned to you all my days. And so now, let me, your slave, stay here in place of the boy, as a slave to you, my master, and the boy will go back home with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father and the youth not be with me? But actually, in these words, Yehuda does not express loyalty towards Binyamin as his brother, but rather a fear of not keeping the promise he made towards his father. Thus, Yosef once more finds himself disappointed with his brothers, and this is the impetus for revealing his identity. A law from the Rambam's laws of tshuva, repentance, enhance this understanding, according to which Yehuda's words do not indicate change. As a result, Yosef understands that there is no change, no remorse, and so no forgiveness without his sharing of his true, full identity. The Rambam in the Laws of Tshuva explains, if a person transgresses a law from the Torah, he must do tshuva, repentance. And the Rambam goes on to say, what is wholehearted repentance? When the exact same circumstance and transgression comes at hand, and one can do it, and one pulls away from it. Full tshuva, full penitence, is possible only when circumstances are duplicated. This is possibly not only true from the point of view of the sinner, but also from that of the one being sinned against. Now let us return to Yosef. A duplication of circumstances, atonement and forgiveness, are not possible as long as Yosef does not take the risk of sharing his true identity. Yosef's absence from Yehuda's words is alarming. Moreover, throughout his speech, Yehuda praises Yosef again and again. It would seem that being praised by a brother that was so alienated in the past would make Yosef feel moved to lack of restraint and tears. But the praise is stated by Yehuda when he does not recognize truly the addressee of his praise. He is not aware of his connection to him as Yosef, as his brother. The words "your servant" and "master" are repeated again and again in Yehuda's speech, and every utterance of them distances Yehuda from Yosef even more. And Yehuda approached him and said, "My master, let thy servant speak a word in the ears of my master, and don't be upset with your servant, as you are likened to Pharaoh." And so on. Yehuda is approaching the leader in Egypt and not his brother whom he sold. It seems that Yosef is heartbroken and can no longer restrain himself because he, Yosef, is completely missing from Yehuda's words. It is this alienated speech that clarifies to Yosef that his ongoing disappointment will not cease as long as he does not reveal his identity to his brothers. It is true that there is no guarantee that fraternity will emerge from this revelation, but there is no chance for repair and connection as long as the nature of the rift remains hidden. Vayigash elav Yehuda, velo yachol Yosef lehitapek. And Yehuda approached him, and Joseph could no longer restrain himself. As long as Yehuda continues to approach the ruler of Egypt rather than Yosef his brother, Yosef will remain disappointed and unsatisfied. This is why Yosef can no longer vayitapak, no longer restrain himself. Yosef teaches us that relationships require exposure. As long as we leave on ourselves covers and masks, our relationships remain unsatisfying. An act of exposure requires courage, a courage which is necessary in order for relationships to become fulfilling and to bring us peace of mind. May we merit the strength of self-disclosure and the fruit of the relationships that come in its wake. Shabbat Shalom.